We're going to start on Lamed Zayin Amud Bet, right in the middle, right before the lines get wide. We're going to have a series of cases, which are charted out here, of money issues between the Yabam and the Safek. Okay, here we're going to have a case where the Safek is, we had a guy, he was married to a woman, he dies, the woman does Yibam with the brother, and then she's pregnant. And we don't know, was the baby from a 7-month baby, is it a 7th-month baby from the Yabam? Or is it a 9-month baby, right? The baby's born 7 months after she gets married. Or was it a 9-month baby from the first husband? So this child now is Safek, his father, right, the first guy. We're going to call him the mate. That's what the Gemara calls him, Mitna, in the Lashon of the Aramit, the mate. Or is he the Yabam's child? Which is obviously going to affect the Yerusha. Now, if you recall, what happens to the Yerusha of this guy? So if he has a son, the son gets his Yerusha. So if the son, right, this kid is his son, the son should get all the money. If he doesn't have a son, then it all goes to the Yabam. So then the Yabam gets the money. So now we're going to have, that's going to be the simple case. Okay, then we're going to get into more complicated cases. Safek b'Yabam shabau lachlok b'nechsei mitna. Okay, they come now to get, take, everyone has a claim to the land, to the property. Safek amar anabar mitna, I'm the son of the dead guy. Who? V'nechsei didihu, and it's my money. V'Yabam amar at birai didihat, you're my son. V'leit lach v'lomidi b'nechsei. Okay, very nice relationship they have. You're my son and you're not getting any money, right? This is all my money. Havi mamonu mutal b'safek, or mamonu mutal b'safek chokim. This is a classic case, okay, of money that we don't know who it belongs to. And because we have no idea who it belongs to, we're basically going to say it goes 50-50. Okay, we have no idea. It's, what's the difference here between cases we're going to see later? Nobody has a claim. The property isn't in anybody's hands, right? Usually we say that if property, there's a concept, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. If you want to prove that something's yours, you have to prove it. Okay, if there's a something of mine that's in your house, I go to your house and I find a mug in your house and I say, hey, that mug is mine. You say, look, this is in my house. And you have to prove, until you can prove it, it's in my house. So it's in my property. Here, the property belongs to neither one of them. Nobody has a larger claim to this piece of land. Okay, next case. Safek v'yabam shebao lachlok b'nechsei mitna. Sorry, b'nei yabam. Okay, now we have the safek and the sons of the yabam. What happens? The sons, okay, they haven't yet divvied up the land of the father. I'll call him the father, even though he's not necessarily the father, but it's just easier, or the dead guy, okay? Here now two guys die, that's why it's confusing. We'll call him the father, the first guy. The first guy dies. Then the Yabam comes along, does Yibum, right? So he should get the land, but he didn't take the land yet, okay? They didn't take care of the possession of ownership before he died. Then he dies. So now, who gets the land? It's either 50% to the kid, who's a Safek, because he's 50, like we saw in the last case, and 50% chance it belongs to the brothers, the sons of the Yabam, okay? So now what happens? Safek amar ha'u gavar bar mitnehu. I am the son, ha'u gavar means me, okay? It really means that guy, but it means me. I am the son bar, the son of the mate. And it's my property. You're our brother, and you just have a portion with we do. Just right, your portion is one. Let's say there's five brothers. You have 1/5 of the property. You don't have all the property, right? The son claims I'm the son of the first guy. In which case, I inherit all the land. And the brothers claim, the sons of the Yabam say, no. The money's supposed to go to the Yabam. You're our brother, so the Yabam gets the money, in which case he's no longer alive. We split this. Everybody gets 20% of the land. Okay, so you only have 20% rather than you think you have 100%. So now we're going to have what the rabbis thought, and then Rav Mesharshi is going to correct them. Sava Rabban Kameja Rav Mesharshi Ala Meimra. The rabbis thought to say like this. Matinitinhi, this is based on a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Ditznan. Here's a case of not a Yabam case, okay? This is just a regular Safek ben Shiva, Safek ben Tesha. Let's say you have two guys, right? Okay, here are your two guys. We don't know, is this baby, is he from this guy or from this guy, right? He's a Safek. We don't know who he belongs to. Now, this guy additionally has, I'll just make faces, heads. Okay, he's got some other children. Each guy has other children. Now, what happens when they die? Does this guy, who's a Sephic, belong to either family?
This guy had other children.
This is Nigibum case. That's what I said.
Okay.
Now we're talking about a regular case. They're saying this is like this case. What's this case? He's just a regular baby where, let's say, this guy died, the mother got remarried, or this guy divorced the mother got remarried within 3 months, and they had a baby, and now we don't know whose baby it is, right? Against the halacha, right? Because they're not allowed to get married, but yes, she did anyway. She ends up with this baby that's a Sephic ben Sheva, Sephic ben Shiva, Sephic ben Tesh. We don't know which guy he belongs to. When it comes time, these guys die, and we're splitting up their Yerusha, okay? So now what happens? This guy claims, let's just say one of them. You don't need both. This guy claims, I'm part of the Yerusha, right? I have a Sephic claim on this, right? He claims, I'm clearly your son, right? Because he wants the Yerusha. So what happens in this case? Halacha is this. The Mishnah says, who eino yoresh otam, he can't inherit it all. Why? Because they have their muchzak in the property. You follow? Whose property does it fall into? Immediately he dies, it falls into their property. They're vadai, and he is a Sephic, right? So until he can prove that that's his father, which he clearly can't prove, okay, right, no DNA testing in those days, since you can't prove that you're the son, you can't inherit it all. What happens, though, when he dies? Who gets his money?
Who dies?
When this kid dies.
Oh.
This Sephic ben Sheva, Sephic ben Tesha, assuming he doesn't have kids to inherit. So who gets his stuff? So now what does it say? Hein yorshimoto. They get 50%, and they get 50% because each has a 50% claim on the land. It's a case where nobody's muhzak, and each one can claim, we have the land, it's mamon mutal b'safek b'cholkin.
Except that if both of these fathers died, he would still be a safek, and these both would be vada, and he wouldn't get any.
He doesn't get anything.
So
he never gets anything. He can't get anything. The question is only what he does.
Understand.
He can't inherit anything. He's stuck. He's in a bad situation.
So the only stuff that he has is anything that he's made
right.
himself.
The question is right. How does
so
he have property?
Have?
Well, no, he can make his
okay.
own money.
Okay.
Right?
But they have a claim on his...
But they have a claim on his land because who else is going to inherit him? Right? Okay? So it's this crazy situation. So now, according to that, what does he say? V'hacha ipcha. Now, by us, it's the same logic, but it works... This case worked against the Sephic guy, right? The Sephic Sheva, Sephic Tesha, right? Our case with this logic is going to work for the Sephic Sheva, Sephic Tesha. Why? What is this claim? If you're muhzak in the land, right, then you have a stronger claim over the other guy. So what did we say here? Hatam, in that case, Amrei Lei, they say to him, Aite Raya Ushkol. Until you bring a proof, you won't be able to take it, right? Aite is bring, Raya is a proof, Ushkol, and take. Bring a proof, and then you can take it, which obviously he can't. Hacha, in our case, Amar Lehu, Aitu Raya Shkolu. What's our case? Our case, he has, either he says, I'm the son of the dead guy, and I get 100%. They say, you're just one of us, and you only get, let's say for my example, I gave five brothers, right? There are four brothers plus him, so you get 20%. Either which way, he's muhzak at least in 20%. He has a chazakah on the land. So in this case, he should be the guy who gets everything, okay? Because he's the only one who has a chazakah, and he can say to them, hey, you bring proof that you're his, that you're the inheritors, you know? And then, because remember, if he's, how does it work? If he's a son of the first guy, then they have no claim to the land at all. It's only if he was a son of the second guy, the Yabam, then the Yabam inherited the property, and then he gets a stake to that, right? Then remember, if he's from the first guy, right, then he belongs, and 100% of the mate goes to him.
Yes.
If he's from the Yabam, then it means the first guy had no people to yoresh. The Yabam got all the Yerusha, right? He got 100%.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about that they didn't yet give out that 100%. And the kids come and say, we claim that 100% because it's our father. But they can't prove that this guy was the Yabam's son. They don't know. So if that's the case, they don't have any real claim to the land. Okay? Any conclusive proof. So now that's what he thought. But Amar Lehu Rab Mashar Shia Mi Dame. Why are you comparing these cases? Hatam Inhu Vadai V'iyu Sephic. In this case I showed on the board, right, the regular Yerusha case, all the sons of the guy are Vada Yorshim. They 100% are Yorish's land. Okay? They say, we're talking about this guy's property, and we inherit his land. And he's a Sephic. But Hacha, in our case, Idi V'idi Sephic. Both guys are suffix because even though it's true in the end he'll have, let's say, like for my example, he'll have a 20% claim to the land, okay? He doesn't know from which guy he's yorish. It's still a suffix. Is it the maid's property or is it the aban's property? It's a total suffix case. In other words, even if you say tachlis, bottom line, he'll get something, it's still all medin suffix. We still don't know who he's being yorish and whose money it is. So therefore, you can't say that he really has a chazak on the clan. He can't say, this land is mine because it was my father's, right? It could be one father, it could be the other father. It's not exactly a vada case. It's not like here where they're definitely inheriting their father's land.
But the whole point of Yivam is the first guy dies and the second guy does Yivam. So you could make the argument that the first guy died and he doesn't get anything from that because the Yivam was done.
No, but if he's the son of the first guy, then there's no chiyuv of Yibum. The whole Yibum was done by mistake. Remember, this is a case where he does Yibum, and then it turns out the wife was pregnant. And now we don't know. Was she pregnant with the first guy? In which there was no chiyuv of Yibum. Or was he from the Yibum guy? We don't know.
So it cancels out the Yibum?
Yeah, there's no Yibum then, because the guy, it turned out, had kids. When he died, he had a potential child.
And she has to divorce him.
And she has to divorce him because, exactly, it's safek esherach. You can't, that's the whole point. Since you can't prove it, this whole sugya is dealing with, since nothing can be proven, how do we deal with it? What do we do? Okay, so now, ela I damya lamat nitin laha damya. It's more similar to this case. What case? L'safek ubnei yabam, shabao lachlok b'nichse yabam. Now what do you have? You have the safek and the children of the yabam who come to split up not the dead guy's property, but the Abam's property. Now what happens? This is very smart. Now what happens? After they already gave out the land of the father, in other words, the Abam inherited the father, okay? He took the money of the first guy, the dead guy. Now what happens? Hatam amre le aite raya de achunaat ushko. Right, de hatam amre le aite raya de achunaat ushko. They say to him, one second, bring a proof that you're our brother and take. Right? Oh, no, sorry. I think I'm...
Yes.
I actually explained this case like the other one. Safik ubnei yabam shabal lechlok b'nichse yabam. Right. Sorry. Forget the father's property. This is just the nechasim of the yabam. What happens in the nechasim of the yabam? Here we have a good... What's the situation? This much like this case, right? Like the case of... Where what do we say? The yabam's kids are vadaim, right? They're vadai. And the safek is a safek, right? So he, in the end, what will be in that case? This, if they're trying to inherit the Abam's property, the sons of the Abam have 100, right? They're vadai muhsakim, and he is a safek.
But the Abam's property was originally the brother's property. That field was originally from the dead brother.
So that we're going to get to next. What about the Abam? What about
this is his own property.
Right, this is his own property, not the Abam's. That's our next case. Okay, so now the next case is Safek ubnei yabam shabao lachlok b'nichse yabam lebatar depali yabam b'nichse mitna. After the yabam already took the father's property, okay, that was his property without the father's. Now the yabam inherits the father's property. Now what are you going to see here? B'nei yabam amre aitu raya da'achuna atu shko. Bring proof that you're a brother and then you can have his property. Amar lehu Suffolk, the suffix says, manafshachu. What does that mean? Mi manafshach. Either way you look at it, I get something, right? What does he say? Very simply. I achuchon ana, if I'm your brother, havali manata ba'adaychu. I get a part just like you do. If I'm your brother, then I get a percentage. V'i bar mitnan, and if I'm the son of the dead guy, then havali paga de palag avuchon ba'adai. Right? In that case, what happened? They first split it 50-50. He says, I want my 50% back. So either way, either I get 20% or I get 50% of my father's nechassim. Okay? We don't know which is greater, by the way. Depending on how much money you have, maybe 20% is greater than the 50%.
Wait, why would he get 50% and not 100%?
He gets, no, because he already, what happened? His father's property was split. That was our first case. His father's property got split 50-50 between the yabam and between the suffolk, right?
Yes.
So now he says, I want the 50% back that the Abam took. So either I get my 50% back that he took from my father, or I get 20% of all the Abam's property. Okay? Let's say 20% in my example.
The 400 went to the Abam, which is probably what you're thinking of.
Right.
Right. So now just remember, when I keep saying 20%, it's not 20% necessarily. It just depends how many brothers there are. Right. I was just giving an example where there were four plus him. Okay. Ibar Minna, okay. Rabbi Abba. So now what do we do in this case? Okay, now that he claims he's got a definitive stake in this property. Rabbi Abba Amar Rav, Kam Dina. Rabbi Yirmi Amar, Hadar Dina. There's a machloket now. Rabbi Abba says, Kam Dina, that the din that we already did, okay, you can't be chozerbo. In other words, this Yabam already got the 50%. We no longer look at that property as that was the property he took from the father and we can go back and redo it. When we come to this Mimanafshach, we can't undo what happened. We're going to basically erase this 50%. Now the Yabam, just all his property is considered 100%. We split it evenly. The fact that he inherited way back, we can't undo that din of this Mamona Mutaba Safek Cholkin. Okay? But Rabbi Yirmiya says, no, Hadar Dina, we can go back and erase it. In other words, we can say, okay, look, this property, you're right. Either you get 50% of this or you get 20% of that. Okay? So now they say this machloket about whether you can redo the din that happened already or you can't go back because what's done is done. Lema bepluta de Admon v'Rabbanan kamiflegein. Maybe they're arguing about the same thing Admon and Rabbanan were arguing about. Ditnan. There was a Mishnah. Mi shahalach l'medinat hayam v'abdalo derech sadeh. He had a path through the neighbor's field. Okay, he was always allowed to go, right? There's a good example across the way here. There's this house that people sometimes, they used to cut through. Now the owners don't allow it. Okay, it's a good, perfect example. Okay, there was a shortcut that we get from here to Achara'am. Okay, through, so I used to be friends with the person who lived there. We used to cut through her house. Okay, now the guy who lives there doesn't allow it. So that's like a good case. Somebody goes to Medinat Hayam. He comes back, and the path he had, now it's a little different. Here the path is still there, it's just locked. But the path he has, he can't find anymore, okay? Let's say he paved some path, and now the paved path is no longer there. He can't figure out where his path is. Admon Amar Yelech Biktzara. Admon says he can go any way he wants. He can choose a very short, whatever the shortest path is. We're going to assume that was his path. You know, pave a new short path, and that's yours. V'chachamim omrim Yikach lo derech b'mei amana o yifrach ba'avir. It's a great line, right? Either he can buy a new path, or he can fly, okay? V'hevinam ba'ale Rabbanan, they ask a question about Rabbanan. Shapir kamar Admon, right? Admon has a good, right? He had a claim in that land. He should be able to go back and take his property. So why don't you agree with him? But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Hacha b'mayaskinan. This is the case. It's not a simple case where you went back and it was the same guy living there, right? It's a good example I brought because now it's a different owner, okay? So now it's different. So now what's the case? Kigon shikivua arba abne adam me arba ruchot. Okay, we're talking about a case where four people, there's four different people that we're talking about, and he doesn't know which was the path that he had with which person. So now how can he claim from one person when really it was a different person's property, right? So he can't take away someone's property, maybe, you know, because maybe that was his property. So that's the example where Chachamim say, Yikach lo derech maneh, or that. So then they say, Ihach imai tama de Admon. Well, then Admon makes no sense. How could Admon say you can take any path you want when it belongs to one of possibly four people and you're taking it away from someone who is a rightful owner to it? V'amarava, so then they say, no. Ba'arba'a da'atu mikoch arba'a. Ba'arba'a da'atu mikoch chad. Kule amalo pligi. Tematzi madhule. Everyone agrees that if there were four original owners and now there's four new owners, clearly you can't go take the property from one of them. They also agree that if there were four, that originally it was owned by one guy, and now four different people own the four different properties, you also can't, because at this point you can't claim it from any one of them. They're now talking about where originally there were four owners, okay, imagine this is where he lives, he wants to go one of four directions, and each direction is a new owner, but originally it was owned by one guy, okay? So now, what's the issue? Admon savar matze amarle. He could say, mikomakom derki gabchahu. As you can go back and say, no matter what, I had a path from the guy that you bought from. So it's true that you might have bought a certain right, but you own like a quarter of what this guy owned, and I had a part in that guy's land. And basically, what's he saying? You can go back and redivide it, right? You can go back in time that once it was owned by one guy and you had a claim to this guy's land, when he sold it, he sold his land with someone having a stake in it, right? Someone having a path in his property.
It's not the other way around. Sorry, keep going.
You think it's? It could be. It could be. I'm mixing up. Definitely possible. I can check.
It's kind of actually a car, but somebody bought it from four people.
Maybe. 1 second. Um, No, they bought it from one guy. Okay. Yeah. Okay? So now what's the issue? They say, right, that's the whole thing. We want to go back. Okay? He bought one second.
The first case was four people bought from one person. Right?
You're right. Right. They were all, one second. You're right. It's one guy who buys from four people. So now he says, you own all the property now, right? So if, no matter what, right, my property definitely goes through one of your lands, okay, because it's only one guy now. Okay, so now, thanks for correcting me. Okay, no matter what, my property goes through your land. Okay, he says to him, what? Why do Chachamim say you can't go through? Because they say, if you want to be quiet and don't make a claim, then don't. But if you're going, if you're not going to be quiet, then what will I do? I'll give back the shtar to the four original owners, and then you won't have a claim. You understand? If I return my property to each of those four guys, well, now you don't know which of the four guys you went through. So you don't have any claim. Because what did we say? When there's four guys, you don't have a claim. So therefore, you say, I can return my shtar, and you won't have any. You'll have no claim at all. So basically, can you go and reverse history, right? Go back in time? So now, what do we say then? If we want to say it's the same machloka. So Lema Rabbi Abba, I charted this out, you can see. Lema Rabbi Abba Da'amar Ka'admon. Da'amar Ka'rabbanan, right? Rabbi Abba, who said, Kam Dina, that we don't go back in history, would say, Rabbi Abba said, Kam Dina, would say, one second. Lema Rabbi Abba Ka'rabbanan. Okay, one second. I think, I'll also explain that now, right? One second. No, so if he says Kam Dina, Kayam Adin, you can't go back. So that would be like Chachamim. Oh, right, because Chachamim. No, but wouldn't that be that you can go back? One second, because he would say. If that's the case, Rabbanan Ba'admon says Hadar Dina. Kolamar Alfa Pishi. So Admon says we take the short path because we can, because he's one guy. Wouldn't that be the opposite? Am I confusing something? Yitnu
ben Sarah. The judgment is reversed, Admon. That's what his, right? Admon says you can reverse it. That's why the owner, the one, says.
So that would be.
Bring it back to the situation, yeah, where they're the four landowners.
No, if you bring it back to the situation with the four landowners, then you won't be able to have a din.
Correct. Because that's reversing the judgment.
Isn't that what Chachamim said?
The rabbis hold.
Right,
yeah,
that's Chachamim.
The rabbis said.
That's Chachamim.
Right,
so wouldn't
right.
it be?
Quiet.
So what are we missing here? One second. Lema Rabbi Abba Da'amar Kirabanan. Because.
It says here, the rabbis, however, hold that the judgment stands. Once the claim to the path was lost, it was irrevocably lost.
Ah, that's what he's saying. I guess the point, right, you can't say this. In other words, he could say, I'll bring it back, and you wouldn't have a claim, and therefore don't, no, but still.
You can't reverse history. It's lost.
No, but isn't he saying you could reverse history? If you reverse history, you'd have no claim. Isn't that what he's saying? If you reverse history, you'd have no claim. Achzir shtarai. You'd have nothing to say. So wouldn't that be that you could reverse the deen?
They're saying that you can't.
No, you can't reverse the deen.
You can't reverse it.
Once the path is lost, it's lost.
Mm-hmm. I see, that deen. Okay, I was thinking if he returned the property.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically you can't go back to what you had earlier. Okay, and then he's saying, look at what the situation is now. In other words, right, Hadar Dina, we can go back, like, I have a claim to what, right, it doesn't matter what happened, we can We can just look at the way it is now, I guess. It still seems to me a little questionable.
That's weird.
Admon says that since all the surrounding properties are owned by a single owner, mm-hmm. we can try to go backwards.
Right. Yes. I see here that the Rishonim had this issue that it's not exactly... It's not exactly Kamdina and Hadardina. It's not a great comparison. So now, anyway, the Gemara is going to reject the comparison. They're going to say, Lema Rabbi Abba da'amra karabanan. Rabbi Yirmiyah da'amra ka'admon. That's what they suggest. But then Amar l'cha Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba could say, Ana da'amra afilu ka'admon. Ad kan lo kamar admon ha'atam ele mishum da'amra le mimanaf shach darkecha gabach. In other words, here, in this situation, Admon said it here because it's a mimanaf shach. In other words, no matter what, he has a path by him. Aval hacha mi'ika lememar hachi. He doesn't have any definitive claim in our case, right? He says, either I'm the son of this or I'm the son of that. Again, we have no definitive claim. Here he has a definitive claim that I could go through one of your properties for sure. Okay? I have a definitive property here. A definitive path. But Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar lecha, Rabbi Yirmiyah could also say, I said it only in this case that you can't go through. Why? Ana d'amrei afilu l'rabbanan. I can lo kamrei rabbanan ha'atam. Ela mishum d'amrei le'i shatakta shatakta bi lo madrinan shtara l'marayu. V'lo matzi l'shtu'i dina badayu. And I couldn't, only because we can reverse and we can go back in history. Aval hacha mi'i kalamei marhachi. Here you can't go back. If you would go back, what would you go back to? We don't know. In other words, there is no, we can't know what history, right? We don't know what exactly happened. You can't go back to a particular time and say, at this time it was clear, right? There is no time to go back to that's clear. So he wouldn't agree in that case, okay? And therefore, you can't necessarily say it's the same machlok. Okay, new case. Safek biyabam shabal lachlok binichse saba. Now what happens? The grandfather dies. Now what happens with the grandfather's property, right? 50% to the yabam, 50% to the mit. Okay, but now what happened? The mate is no longer there. So what happens to the 50%?
Not necessarily. There could have been other brothers.
What do you mean, other brothers?
If the Saba passed away.
Oh, well, no, we're assuming, right, again, assuming it's just the two of them. It's those, because the Gemara is giving a case where it's just the two of them. They were the only two Yorshim. One died. Again, what happens to this guy's property? Who inherits it? Does the Abam get it? Or does the son get it? Okay? So now, what do they say? Safik amar hai gavar bar mitnehu. I'm the son of the dead guy. So, palga didi, I should get 50% of the grandfather's inheritance too. Yabam amar at birai didi, you're my son. Velet lach velom idi, you don't have any claim. Have a yabam. Now here, it's different from the first case we saw. It's where mamona mutal b'safek, because here, the yabam is a vadai. The yabam for sure has 50%. So he's already muhzak in the land. B'safek safek, v'ein safek mosa midei vadai. Okay? You can't, if you have a Safek guy, you have a Vadai guy, the Vadai guy clearly wins out.
So they're saying here that the Safek is a Vadai guy.
No, the Yabam is a Vadai, because the Yabam for sure has 50% of the property. He's got 50% of the grandfather's property. Now it's just a question of what happens to the other 50%. Do you understand? So here already.
Safek is definitely a descendant of the grandfather, though.
So the, but he could be the Yabam, he could be a grandson, in which case the grandson doesn't inherit. Only the sons inherit. So right now, the Yabam has a 50% stake on the grandfather's property. That's Vadai his. It's the other 50% that's maybe the Yabam's and maybe the Safek. So now, since he already has a Vadai claim on 50% of the land, he gets the rest of it. Because Ein Safek Motsumi De Vadai. Now we have a claim. I'm trying to take 50% of the estate away from you. I don't have any stake in the estate. You already have a 50% stake in the estate, so he gets it. Safek v'yabam shabao lichs... Now that we did. Safek... one second. Okay. B'nei yabam shabao lachlok b'nichse sava. Okay, now the yabam is dead. Okay? So now there's 50% that Safek the yabam's property, 50% that Safek's the mate. They're both dead. So now the Abam's property, the 50% will go to his Yerushim, right? Okay? And the 50% of the May will either go to the B'nai Abam or to the Sepik, right? Either it'll be split up evenly among all the sons of the Abam because it really belongs to the Abam, or it goes, the 50%, right, 100% of that 50% goes to the Sepik. Okay? That's the question. What do we do with this money? So what are we going to say now?
Either way, you want to
Safek amar hu gaber bar mitnehu. I'm the son of the dead, Upalga Didihu, the 50% should be mine. Ubine Yavam Amre Achunaat Umanata Ilach Bahadan. You have just a portion among us, right? So you should get, again, let's say there's five including him. So he should get 20% of the whole property, right? And he wants to get 50% of the property, right? He wants 50% mm-hmm. of the property. And they say you only get 20% of the whole property. Okay? So now, what happens? Palga deka mode lehu shakle. So now, their mode on half of the 50... Their mode on... One second. Palga deka mode le shaklu... Shakle tilta. Okay, sorry. They're talking about a case where there's three of them, I think, right? Shnezu vim tilta dekulu, right? So let's change our example, okay? He gets, there's two other sons of the Yabam, okay? And he's a question. So paga dekamodele shakle. So he now, one second, according to this, how many, there were assumption there were two there and him. So the half that he... Which is the half? One second. I got confused now. Palga mishisha zehuvim. Okay, let's say there's six portions here. Okay? There's six. So three should be of the mates and three should be of the abams. Okay, so now, how much of that does he... Right, what's this palga that they mean? One second. Oh, sorry. That's why I got confused. It's not that they're mode. He's mode lehu. I didn't read it properly. He's mode to them on 50%. He claims, right? What does he say? He says, I want this 50%. I don't want this 50%. He says, I want the 50% of my father. So he's mode that the 50% of the abam belongs to them. That he's not part of that property. He doesn't want the 50%. Right. So already 50% goes to them vada. Okay, now what happens? Now we're left with, he claims 50%, and they claim we own all of it, right? And you should get, I'm sorry, they claim that you should get 30, right? A third, right? They claim you should get a third of the property. Okay, so if it's six zehuvim, right? So half of it, three, goes to them. Then, what's left? So tilta de kamode le... Okay, module, they agree with him that he owns a third of the property. So shaka. They agree, forgetting about what he agrees, right? They agree that altogether a third of this belongs to him. Okay? Because they said, you're one of us. You should inherit like us, right? We're three sons, including you. You should get a third. Okay? So another third goes to him. Okay? That's if we have, like Rashi says, six uvim. So he should get... They should get three. He should get one. Okay? A third. He should get two zehuvim. And now, what about the last one? Danka, the last six, have mamon hamutal b'safek b'cholkin. Okay? That last one should go half and half. So they get two. They get three and a half, and he gets two and a half. Okay? Because each one is admitting that the other one has a claim. So the part that they admit to goes to the other side that they admitted. In other words, he says, I only belong to this side, so I don't even have a claim to 50%. So they automatically get the 50%. He claims that they claim that you're not, that you have an equal part with us, so you have a third. Okay? And then what's left in the middle, they split evenly.
It doesn't seem like you should be able to have it both ways. You know, so in other words, like if there's...
Right, it ends up not being truth, right? It's just, but it's just what each, that's how it works, by what each one admits the other one has. So that's how it works. Okay. Saba v'yavam b'nichse safek. Oh, saba v'safek b'nichse yavam. Okay, you have a grandfather and the yabam. Now what happens? The safek guy dies, like sort of like that Mishnah we saw, right? But the safek guy, who inherits him? So now you have the grandfather has a claim because the grandfather says, my son's property belongs to me, the dead guy, right? And he's my son. And you know, he came from that son. And the yabam says, no, he's my son. I inherit his property. Or saba v'safek b'nichse yabam. Or the Saba, the grandfather and the Safek are arguing over the Yabam's property. Again, neither one has any claim to the land, and therefore have mamon hamutal b'safek v'cholkin. Okay, very complicated. Sorry, I didn't have it all organized 100%. Okay, if you want to look over it, though, the sheet should help organize all the cases. Shomeret Yabam, now we're starting a new mission. Shomeret Yabam shenafluna nechasim. Modim beit shamay u beit hillel shemocher v'notenet v'kayam. Okay, now you have to know some background about property for women, okay? There's different kinds of property. There's nechset zon barzel. That's property the woman goes into her marriage with. She puts it in her ketubah. She says, I own this and this property. We call it an adunya, okay, her dowry sometimes. Mm-hmm. She comes in with this property. She says, this property is mine. Now, what happens to this property? When she leaves, she gets the value of the property at the time of the marriage, which means that the husband basically if it increases, it's the husband's increase. If it decreases, the husband gets the, you know, he bears the brunt of the problem, right? If the, let's say it's a house and the house went down in value, it's the husband's problem. He has to pay her back the value of that house at the time that she brought it in. It's like you go into the marriage with it, you come out exactly with the money that it was worth, okay? Not the object, but the money it was worth. That's different from nichse malug. Nichse malug, right, that's called nichse tzon barzel. Okay, I'm making sure. Right, nichse tzon barzel, because it's like, they say the note here says that the ro'et tzon would do this with adarim. They would get an eder, and they'd have to return it exactly for what it was worth at the time they got it, and that's why it's called that. I also think barzel, because barzel doesn't change, right? It's like the value of it at that point or something. Then nichse malug are things that she brings in, okay, or their property she inherited or got as a gift once they were married. Now that property she leaves with exactly as it is. In other words, she takes it with her. If it was worth more, if it was worth less, that's her value. Okay? So there's different kinds of property and different kinds of rules about them. Okay, so that's considered something she's nichneset with it and goes out with it. So, Shomeret Yabam, she's a Shomeret Yabam. Now, the whole question here is, when you're a Shomeret Yabam, again, what does that mean? She fell to Yibam with a guy, right? And he hasn't yet married her. So now what happens? What happens, let's say she dies, okay? What happens, or not, right, we're going to get to if she dies, but even before she dies. So here, Shomeret Yabam Shenaflula Nechasim, she gets a gift while she's a Shomeret Yabam. Modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Shemocheret V'notenet V'kayam. She can sell this property. She can give this property, and her sale is a good sale because she's the total owner of that property. He doesn't have a stake in that property. Now, what's interesting is they have a machloket when it comes to erusin. Okay, there's different stages, right? This is a Shomeret Yabam. They're not yet married. When it comes to erusin or kiddushin, as we call it, right? There's a machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel about whether the husband has rights to her property yet or not, or it's only from marriage. Okay, that's the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And that's why it says here, this is all from Ketubot, from I think it's the eighth parak of Ketubot, and it's all there, and this was just brought here because they took this Mishnah out of the whole slew of Mishnayot that are there. They're talking about property and husband and wife and what claims he has to property, and they just took out the Shomeret Yabam one and stuck it in our parak. So the Shomeret Yabam, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree, so without realizing that they argue there, right? That's why it's important to know. They both agree here that it's all hers. He doesn't have any claim to it.
So they actually don't believe in Zika here.
Ah, so right. So we'll see about Zika and what kind of, well, the Zika, but right. And what Zika has to do with property rights. How Zika affects property rights.
Okay.
So now, Meita, what if she dies? Maya se b'ketubata u'b'nechasim ha'nechnesim b'yotzim imah. Now, what happens to her ketubah? Remember, what's her ketubah? It's money the husband says, I will give to you in the event that I die. Okay? And until she gets her ketubah, by the way, he's supposed to give her mizonot and all that. Okay? Until she claims that one lump sum fee in her ketubah. So what happens to her ketubah money? What about the nechasim ha'nechnesim b'yotzim imah, the nechse malug? Beit Shammai umrim, yachloku yorshei habal im yorshei av. Now, there's a bit of things that are not mentioned in this Mishnah. It's not clear. They're asking really about her ketubah. Within ketubah, it's also the nichse tzon barzel that are mentioned in the ketubah. Okay, those things that he returns to her in the monetary amount that they came in with. And then what about the nichse malug? So they're asking really about three things. And Beit Shammai doesn't really specify. He just says, and the assumption here, the mefarshim, again, there's a bit of a different opinion, is that yachloku yorshei habal im yorshei av, her nichse malug. Okay, the ones that are go in with her and go out with her exactly as they are, whether they go up in value, down in value, it's her issue. So the Yorshei Habal with the Yorshei Ha'av, okay? The people who are Yorish, the father, her father, because remember, what's her property? Her property really came from her father, right? Her father has claims to her property before she gets married. So it's half the father and half the husband. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Beit Hillel now make a distinction between properties. Nechasim Bechez Katan, okay, her nechasim, which they assume are the nechse tzon barzel, Okay, again, this is depending on how you take it, but that's the basic parshanut. The nechasim b'chez katan, okay, now nobody knows what it means. They say the nechzei tzom barzel, the ones that are hers, right, that he has to take achrayut for them, right? In other words, if they go up in devalue, go up in value, it's his responsibility, he gets the loss or the gain. Those are b'chez katan. So we don't know exactly what b'chez katan is. Ktuba b'chez kat yorshe haba'al. The ketubah goes to the yorshim of her husband, because the assumption is that the ketubah had to do with her marriage, and it moves on to whoever's inheriting her husband, right? Which would be the yabam in this case, right? The inheritors of her husband, her first husband doesn't have any inheritors. The ba'al here, we're talking about the yabam, who's supposed to do yibum with her, okay? Remember, he hasn't yet done yibum, but we're going to say that the ketubah moves to there.
What about his father?
No, the father doesn't get anything of the ketubah. And nechasim hanechnesim biyotzim ima bechezkat yorshe ha'av. But the ones that go in and come out exactly as they came, the house, let's say, he gets the house, whatever value it is, she gets it when she leaves, that's going to go back to her father. Okay, so
her father's still alive.
Her father's still alive, or her father's estate, whoever her sons are, get it. This is if she dies.
No, but they don't separate it at her death.
Why? Why wouldn't they separate it at her death? No, I think it is, because it's hers. It's her house. So when she dies, it goes back to her father's property. Okay? The assumption here probably, although I think there's a machloket, if I remember correctly, there's a machloket among the Mefarshim, the machloket among the Rishonim. Right? There's three opinions among the Rishonim. What does Bechez Katan is? That's what it is. The Rishonim argue about it. Is it the Yorshe HaBaal? Is it the Yorshe HaAba, right? The father? Or is it that they split it? Okay, it's unclear, really unclear what Behil is saying. Okay, so now, Kenasa, what if he marries her? Okay, she's not a Shomer Yabam, but they actually got married. Harehi ki ishto l'chol davar. She's considered a full-fledged wife. Ubevad shetehei ketubah nechzei ba'ala rishon, except for one thing. The ketubah money, what happens to the ketubah? Okay, this is why it's important to understand what a ketubah is. Ketubah is, in the event that I die or divorce you, you get this amount of money. Now, she doesn't usually claim her ketubah right away, by the way, because once she claims that lump sum fee, she no longer gets mizonot. So what the woman would do is she continued to take money from the estate of her dead husband or divorced husband. He'd pay her like alimony, right? He pays her mizonot until such time that she claims, I want my ketubah money. Once she claims her ketubah money, she can't get mizonot. So in this case, what's going to obviously happen to her ketubah? It's just going to roll over. In other words, the yabam is basically taking place of the husband. So the ketubah money rolls over to she doesn't need a new ketubah. The ketubah stays the ketubah. Anyway, the yabam is yoresh all the husband's money. So the ketubah just stays her ketubah. She doesn't claim her ketubah at this point. Because even though her husband died, she's now been remarried by his brother. So she's taken care of by the brother.
Doesn't have a new ketubah? No.
So it's the ketubah still from the first husband's property. Okay? Now, first question of the Gemara is, Maishna Resha Delo Pligi, Maishna Seifa De Pligi. Why in the Resha is Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel Modim, that Mocheret Benotenet Bekayam? But if she dies, right, in the case where she dies, then there's a machloket between them. Are they machloku? Does it depend on which property, right? Why all of a sudden is there a machloket between them, but in the first case there wasn't a machloket? Both in theory are cases where she hasn't done Yibam yet, and what's the relationship? Does he get a property? Doesn't he get a property? What should it matter if she died or not? So Ula's going to say that this Mishnah, we didn't understand it. Like, we don't understand it lefi pshuto. We have to explain it a different way. Amar Ula, Reisha dinafla kashihi arusa, useifa dinafla kashihi nisua. This is the thing. The first case of the Mishnah where they all agree that what? That yachloku. Modim, sorry. That she has full rights to the property. It's in which case? When she was only engaged to her first husband, okay? She never really married him, okay? So she fell to Yibum when she was only in Arusa. And therefore, okay, therefore it's only, right? Those are hers entirely, okay? Because the first husband, now remember, what did I say? There's a machloket by Erusin, by Mechama Beit Hillel. If she, right, when she's engaged, okay, let's say she's engaged to this guy. When they're engaged, is a machloket b'sham b'beit hillel, does he inherit her property? Doesn't he inherit her property? But now what happens if he dies and she falls to yibum to another guy, right, to his brother? Now the question is, Well, it was suffek bichlal whether he even had property or not, right? There was a machloket. So now that she hasn't even done yibum with this guy, for sure he doesn't have a claim to it. That's the assumption. And that's why Ula says that even Beit Hillel is modeh, right? Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that in that case, they're entirely hers, that property. And seifa, 1 minute, seifa dinafla kashi nesua. The seif is when she was married to the first husband, and therefore he totally had a right to her property, right? And then they get divorced, and now what do we say? In other words, now that she fell to Yibum, is that enough to make her, to make him have rights to property or not at all? And that's where they have a machloket. What do you want to ask?
So this confirms that you fall to Yibum if you're just engaged.
Yes, yes. So now, Bekasavar Ula, Zikat Erusin Oses Safek Arusa, and Zikat Nesua Oses Safek Nesua. Now we're going to explain what this is. Zikat Arusa Oses Safek Arusa. What does that mean? Deisal Kadatach Badai Arusa. What is the Zika? This is what Shoshana was saying. This all depends on Zika, right? So is Zika for an Arusa like Arusa? Okay, so now we say no. Clearly, what do you see here? Zikat Arusa is Oses Safek Arusa, right? Because if you said it was Vadai Arusa, then what did I say there? Modim Beit Hillel Shemocher V'notenet V'Kayam. Beit Hillel, right? In this case, is Modeh that she's Mocher V'notenet V'Kayam. V'hatnan, doesn't it say, Naflula Nechasim Mishinit Arsa Beit Shammai Arim Timkor Beit Hillel Arim Lo Timkor. She's not allowed to sell her property when she's engaged. So if you would say that a Safek Arusa, the Zika of an Arusa, is exactly like an Arusa, then there would still be Machloket. So you'd have to say that the Zika of an Arusa is a Safek Arusa. And that's why even though Beit Hillel said in a Vadai Arusa Lo Timkor, in a Safek Arusa case, you would be able to be mocher. So in the end, what do you say? That a zika of an arusa, right? In other words, she was engaged. Now he has zika to her because she was engaged to the first husband, and there's zika. But it's zika only from erusin, and therefore she's like a suffix arusa to this new guy. The zika, so we do say there's zika in this case, but the zika is only zika misuffix because she was an arusa, and it's now a suffix arusa. So again, in a badai arusa, okay, let's just clarify this. In a badai arusa, my Vada Arusa, we have Beit Shammai says Yimkor, she has full rights to the property. Beit Hillel says Lo Yimkor. But when it comes to our case of Zikat Arusa, right, they both agree, right, both of them say Yimkor. So if both of them say Yimkor, you'd have to say that Zikat Arusa is like Safek Arusa. And then you would say like this. Beit Hillel says that when it's Vadai Arusa, you can't sell, but when it's Safek Arusa, you'd be able to. Okay, now I'll finish this next thing and then we'll stop. Ve'elu modim, she'im machra v'natna kayam. Oh, so this is just the end of it, okay? I didn't finish this up inside. So, elu ve'elu modim, she'im machra v'natna kayam in our case, right? El shmamina zikat arusa oses Safek Arusa. So now we get to the second line. Zikat nesua oses suffik nesua. What does that mean? De'isal kadatach vadai nesua. If you think that a zika of a nesua, right? She's got zika from a vadai marriage. She was married to this guy. He died. There's now a vadai, right? There's a zikat nesua. So now, isal kadatach vadai nesua, Beit Shammai omim yachloku yorshe ha'bal im yorshe ha'av. So now, why would Beit Shammai say yachloku yorshe ha'bal im yorshe ha'av? V'hatnan naflula nechasim mishenisait. Once she has stuff that falls to her when she's married, elu ve'elu modim, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel both agree, she'im machra v'natna, shahabal motzi miyad halekuchot. Any nechasim that fall to her when she's married, she's not allowed to sell. And if she does, he can go claim that land back. So now what would you say? If zikat nesua is nesua, right, is like a nesua, then who should get the property? The Yabam should get the property. And what do you see here? Beit Shammai says Yachloku, and Beit Shammai agrees in that case, right, in the case of Vadai Nesua, that you would give back the property. The property really belongs to the husband. So therefore, Elishmamina, Zikat Nesua, Osa Safik Nesua. That's Ula's explanation of this Mishnah. Ula says, the first case, okay, again, you have to remember, this is really not the pshat, because the Mishnah didn't seem to make any distinction between Arusa Nesua, right? You would think that's a pretty important part to put in the Mishnah. But Ula says, how could it make sense that they're agreeing in this case, not agreeing in the case when the girl dies, It doesn't make any sense. It has to be that one case was she was engaged to the first guy, and the second case she was married to the first guy. And then he comes to this conclusion about the suffix, the zika of an arusa and the zika of an nesua is less than a real arusa and less than a real nesua, and that's why each of them are modeh in each case. Tomorrow we're going to see that Rabba has a different way of explaining this. He doesn't like his explanation, and he's going to explain it a different way.
What's a zika nesua?
Zika of a nesua is zika of a woman. You're shomeret yabam to a man, right, to the brother when you were married, as opposed to when you were engaged. So it's the zika of a nesua. The zika of a yavama who is nesua.
So her husband hasn't died yet.
No. She was married. The whole question here is, what was her relationship with the first guy before he died? Was she engaged to him? That's Zika Arusa. Or was she married to him? That's Zika Nesua.
Okay.